your love. You first loved us, God. Because of your great love, Lord, we're able to love you. You loved us first, Jesus. God, and you demonstrated that love, Lord God. Father, you demonstrated that love and you sent your one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the price for us, for your church. And God, we don't deserve this. God, in our own minds, in our own ideas, God, this love that you've showed to us, Lord God, is some kind of a reckless. But God, in the beginning, when humanity falls because of sin, God, you have the plan to save us, Lord God. For just that one reason, it's because you are love. God, thank you for this wonderful time that you brought us here this morning. Thank you for the freedom that we can just worship you freely. And we thank you for the men, brave and women, that serve for their country, lay down their lives for this country, Lord God. And we honor them. We honor the families that got left behind. God, thank you. And God, I just remembered, Lord God, that Jesus, you didn't get murdered. Jesus, you laid down your life for us. And that's your plan. That's the purpose of why you came to this earth, to lay down your life for us and pay the price, shed your blood, and redeem us and cleanse us from all of our sins. And thank you, Jesus. I pray, Lord God, just God, I promise, Lord Jesus, that it's only your name will be lifted up in this place, God. No other name. That's you alone, Jesus. We glorify you and we honor you. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a clap of praise this morning, church. Praise God. Please, you may be seated. Wow, praise God. Man, I don't know about you, church, but I'm just feeling the presence of God in this place. Praise God. Wow. Oh, man, God's love is unconditional. Amen. Wow, maybe you'll wonder, like, man, where's Pastor Eric? You're like, wow, is something happening in the church? Is something wrong? It's like, what's going on? Like, I can see a big spot in here. Like, where are the other people? Don't worry, relax, calm down. Everything is fine. Hope Chapel is so healthy. And Pastor Eric, he's not taking a vacation. He's ministering right now. And one of our elders is getting married right now. I think they're doing their ceremony right now. So now you're stuck with me this morning. Praise God. But you know what? I am so honored and so thankful. It's that, you know, God has given me this opportunity. You know what? It's just by the grace of God that I'm able to stand here. It's not because of what I can do, but it's because of His grace and His mercy. And when Pastor Eric asked me, that was like a month ago, if I can, you know, if I'll be able to preach today. And I said, yes. But he didn't know that my knees were all shaking. You know, I mean, I've been here for over 5 years, and you guys don't really see me preach the entire sermon. You guys maybe like saw me like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, you know, like that, but not the entire sermon. So it's like, guess what? From the day that Pastor Eric asked me until now, there's so many nights that I'm just waking up. I'm so scared and nervous. And if you guys can see my knee right now, I'm not shaking right now. Praise God. Man, are you guys with me this morning? Yeah, so, you know, and today's Memorial Day weekend, so there's a lot of our church families that are just taking vacation, you know, taking their family out to maybe the lake and just making histories, you know, like memories for their families. And that's good. That's good. You guys should do that. All right, you guys can go now and do that right now. Just man, you guys want to hear the word of God this morning, right? Oh, man, praise God. So, man, I just love church. I just love the presence of God, amen? I don't know about you, church, but God is so good in our lives. And in the songs that we sing this morning, it's just, it's more than just words. But you know what? So here, wow, I don't know how to start. But you know what? My wife of 14 years, She's probably like, what? Why am I in here right now? But my wife of 14 years, she's very supportive of me and very encouraging. Even this morning, she called me, right? Like FaceTime, so talking to her, like I see her picture, like, you'll be fine, because she knows that I was so nervous and scared for this moment. And it's like, wow, you'll be fine. You're like, you know, you're going to be doing good. You're going to do good. And, you know, she's like supportive of me, and so thank you, and she loves me, and I love her. That's why we have four kids. Hey, two are twins, so, I mean, I have twins, so that's why we have four. But you know what? There's two things that she's not very encouraging. I'm just like, all right, I can't wait. Tell me. First, she's not very supportive of my dancing. I can't dance. Oh, man, you don't want to see me dance. But if you want to see me dance, ask my big boys, Nathaniel and Noah. Yeah. Once they dance, that's my dancing right there. But if you ask them, make sure you give them some $1 or $2 for the body barrel so they can support the BGMC. I think Janelle will like that, right? It's like, and the other thing is, like, she said, I cannot be a comedian. She's like, why? It's like, don't stop sharing funny jokes. Like, why is that? You always miss the punchline. Which is true. I think it has something to do with my accent. That's an excuse. So guess what? I have jokes right here. I write it down. Are you guys ready? So the army of the Lord. This is the title, all right? Are you guys ready? Here you go. A friend of mine, you know what? Here, I'm just going to build a foundation. This is not my materials, so I wish it's mine, but I stole this from the internet. So if this is not that funny, don't blame on me. Blame the internet. All right, here he goes. A friend in front of me was coming out of the church one day, and the preacher was standing at the door, as he always did, to shake hands. Grabbed my friend by the hand and pulled him aside. Then the pastor said to him, "You need to join the army of the Lord." The friend replied, "I'm already in the army of the Lord, Pastor." Pastor questioned him, "How come I don't see you except at Christmas and Easter?" He whispered back, "I'm in the secret service." Oh, man, that was good. Thank you. Thank you very much. Do you want another one? Do you want another one? All right. Man, this thing is very helpful. I didn't miss that punchline. All right, this one is atheist. An atheist complained to a Christian friend, "You Christians have special holidays, such as Christmas and Easter. Jews celebrate their national holidays, such as Passover and Yom Kippur. But we atheists have no recognized national holidays. It's unfair discrimination." His friend replied, "Why don't you celebrate April 1st? Like I said, this is not my material, so don't blame on me. Praise God. So, wow, that was good. You know, can I make some excuses this morning? If that's all right with you, church? All right, good. I have plenty of time. You know, maybe you already wondered, like, man, who's this guy? He's like, man, it's like, he speaks, like, weird. Like, he's got this accent, and yeah, I have accent. English is my third language, and thank you. Thank you for that. But yeah, and then so you know what, there's gonna be and preaching is not my like strong, you know, like ministry, because I was just saying like most of the time. But so I will assure you that during this message there's gonna be time that I was like, what is he talking about? Because there's gonna be times that when I'm mentioning a guy that I'm going to say, like, she. Or I'll mention a lady that I'll say, he. Okay. That's just who I am. That's an excuse. And there's going to be, like, time that when I try to, like, explain a word, that I'll just probably, like, stare at you like this. And you know what's happening at that moment? My brain is just, like, trying to get that English words right there. And then in the Philippines, we call that nosebleed. You know what? That's just a metaphor. Because we're like thinking so hard that just blood just dripping. And I was like, where's that English word right now? So if that happens, I'd say nosebleed and then we'll continue and go on, right? So, all right. So, but here, I will promise I will do my best. You know, with my ability to bring the word of God this morning. Amen. So, and you know what? All of us, you know, as Christians, Apostle Paul encourages us that when we go, you know, fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ like this, this setting is like, it's not just the pastor's job to encourage the church, but actually every single one of us has a responsibility. Do you guys believe that this morning? And Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, it says, all right, I'm writing so you guys can see in there. There you go. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Here's the key. Admonishing one another. It's not just the pastor's job or the worship team to encourage you, but you have a responsibility to encourage the person sitting next to you. Can you tell that right now? I mean, can you do that? Like, hey, just encourage that person. Whatever, just encourage that person right now. Are you guys with me still? It's like, man, his accent is just getting me right now. Like, I can't understand him. Like, I know I have a funny accent. I'm not like Mike and Pearl. They have beautiful accent. By the way, they just came back from the royal wedding last week. If you guys know them, they're like from there, London. Like, oh, they have beautiful accent. Man, my accent is just, I tried to like pronounce like the way, like, I can't do it. But wow, so praise the Lord. So yeah, so we all have a responsibility, you know. It's like when Janelle sings, like, don't just let yourself just stand there. Sing. So, like, you know, to encourage the worship team, to encourage the person that's standing next to you. And that's just how the church is. Do you believe that this morning, church? All right. So, another thing. So, have you been to a store? Yeah. And, yes. What a question, right? I was like, oh, my goodness. No, what I'm saying is, like, when you walk into a store, and all of a sudden, like, you see all these signs, right? Like, sell. Buy one, take two for free, right? And then I was like, what's his point, like, right now? But, yeah, and then, it's like, you're just, like, surprised, like, wow, it's like, I'll buy one, I get two for free. I'm like, oh, you get crazy. It's like, man, this is sell. I'm going to buy everything. And especially right now, Memorial Day weekend, it's like, man, there's a lot of on sale, like, stores. Like, and even, like, car dealerships. I was like, man, I wish car dealerships do that, huh? It's like, buy one and get two cars for free. I'll be like, I'm going to go to Toyota. You know, they're like, I'm going to get a 2018 Toyota Tundra. I'm going to get a 2018 Highlander. I'm going to give it to my wife. And then I'm going to get a used 2000 Corolla. And probably, like, the salesman will be like, all right, is the Corolla going to give it to your son? I'm like, no, that's for my mother-in-law. No, I love my mother-in-law. No, she, I don't know, but for some reason, when you share about mother-in-law, there's like funny things in there. I feel like there's an anointing in there. It's like everybody just love, but you know, I love my mother-in-law. She loves me, and she gives me like iTunes cards every Christmas, and iTunes cards is like the best. If you want to spoil me, give me an iTunes cards. And do you know what iTunes card is? Yeah, it's a music thing, and if you'll give me those, it's like, I'll be like the happiest man in the entire world. Oh, no, I'm just kidding. I was the happiest man when I married my wife. All right, let's just go to the needy and greedy this morning. Yeah, well, three in one. It's like this morning, you guys probably come in this morning, and it's like, well, all right, I'm here to listen one sermon. Actually, you guys come in this morning, and you guys are going to hear three topics this morning. All right, she's like, wow, all right, tell me, but I don't have enough time, so like, it's almost 11 o'clock, I'm going to end at 11:30, so I'm just like, I'm still in the introduction, so I'm like, literally, I have like 7 pages in here, so Maybe we'll end 12:30. Gary said, it's all right. You can end at 1:30 in this afternoon. It's Memorial Day weekend. That's fine. Is that all right with you, church? But anyway, so yeah, we're going to talk about faith, worship, and God's love this morning. And if we talk about this topic, oh man, it's just like so broad. Like, you can preach faith for like years. Love, man, years. Worship, years. And right now, I'm just so determined. I'm going to preach these three topics for like 30 minutes. Please pray for me. All right. So, you have responsibility to encourage the preacher as well, right? So that means I'm going to be expecting you guys, all right, come on, Japheth, preach it right now. I'm going to be expecting like, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I'm going to be expecting you guys to stand up and like, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Come on, preach it. Like, wow, there you go. Am I overreacting over here? I think it's like this nervousness is getting me right now. I'm just so nervous. My knees are just all shaking. But, you know, so, all right, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All right, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. It says, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with your power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Wow, thank you. That was very encouraging. Wow, isn't that great, church? Why do drugs to make you feel good if the scripture of the Lord can make you feel great? Amen. That's right. Come on. Wow. So let us pray. Father, thank you so much, Lord God, for this wonderful day. And God, thank you for the joy of the Lord that strengthens us, Lord God. And thank you for this day that you gave us this day, Lord God, a special day. And just come here this morning and just worship you freely. And God, thank you. I pray, Father, just use me this morning, Lord God. Anoint me that every word that will come out of my mouth will just accompanied by your power, your anointing, Lord God. This is not just my own knowledge, but this is your words that you're about to speak to your people this morning, Lord Jesus. And thank you, we honor you, and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. You know what? I love this book. I'm in love with this book because this book points me to a person. And that person is alive and well, and he's changing me every single day. Amen? So faith, all right? Like I said, we're just going to scratch the surface of this topic. Man, faith is like, man, what a word. It's just so deep, so broad. But, you know, faith is like, you know, God said, I mean, the Bible says that like, God is the author and the finisher of our faith, right? And it's the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, that like, it says that, I'm just going to paraphrase it, that tells us that faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Dictionary says that faith is believing to something that has no proof. We cannot see God, but we believe that he exists. Amen? Amen? You know, the world, just they just like keep telling you, like, man, like, you know, the world created just this Big Bang theory, man. Like millions and millions of years ago, this Big Bang and then Earth happens. But you know what? The word of the Lord says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and the whole universe. John Warren says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You know, faith, we cannot produce faith. We cannot earn faith. We're not worthy of faith. But God is the author of faith. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. This is his gift for us. He gives us this faith. But you know what? I believe that faith, you know, the Bible says that faith without works is dead. I believe that faith is like we have this, our responsibility for faith to function. We need to make the first step in order for the faith to function. Do you guys believe that this morning? Yes. Praise God. So, and you know, it's we believe in the Word of God. Our faith, you know, like a car will not run without a gas, gasoline. Our faith will not function without the Word of God. For us Christians, you know, we live in this broken world, man. It's like, man, it's like society, all this Hollywood, like TV is like, you know, telling us all these things. And it's like, it gets us all confused. And our faith is just all dissolved. And it's like, but you know what? You want your faith to grow? Open the Word of God. The more you read the Word of God, the more your faith will grow. The more your faith will be strengthened. Amen? Praise God. Wow. Man, are you guys getting this morning? Oh, thank you. Thank you, Brandon. Oh, man. Preacher. Oh, man. That means so much. Man, thank you. Wow. Wow. Any standing ovation right there? Wow. Wow. All right. So, and you know what? These words, you know, like the world, man. There's like, man, Bible, what do you believe in the Bible? This is another fairy tale. I mean, fairy tale stories, all this stuff. These are just another best-selling book. You know what? Yes, this is a book, but this is not just one book. There's 16 books in this Bible. And you know what? These people that wrote this book, they're not just, I'm going to write a book, you know, like what writers do right now, you know. They were inspired by the Holy Spirit, you know, and God breathed on this book, and it gives us life. Amen? So, you know, is it God created us? He, oh, man, I was like, we are beautifully and wonderfully made. He created us in his own likeness, in his own image. Why won't you turn to the person next to you? Oh, man, you're just so beautiful. I can see Jesus all over you right now. Praise God. And you know what? When God created us, he breathed life into our lungs. Do you believe that this morning, church? So I hear these sayings like, you know, worship is just simply giving his breath back to him. Amen. We just sing that song like just a moment ago. You know, it's like, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Come on, you know the song. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you. Oh, oh man, isn't that beautiful? Wow, but I want to build a foundation here. Worship, music is not worship. Thank you. There's only two people in here. Just don't be confused. Music is not worship. But I believe music can be used as a platform for worship. Amen? Sometimes, like, you know, it's our worship team. Like, I always encourage the team. Like, man, this, I know all this stuff are good, but this is not it. There's more than this. There's more than this. Worship is obedience. Worship is a lifestyle. Do you believe that this morning, church? Oh, man. It's like, why? But you know what? Music is so like, God just created music beautifully. Like, it connects to our soul. It's like, my twins, right? Like, if you guys know me, I have four kids, like I said earlier. And I have twins. If, like, in my house, like, they love to watch, like, animation. I was going to say, like, cartoon movies. Like, there's no more cartoon shows right now. It's, like, all animation now. And it's, like, there's no... But there's this show, Poppy Paul's on the... There you go. Thank you. And when that music comes in, man, like, if the twins were, like, playing on the side, they would just, like, run. And it's so cute because they're just, like, barely turned 1 year old, right? Go like this. And he's standing in front of the big TV, and he was like this. And then all of a sudden, and then look at me, all big with a smile, right? It's like, wow. It's like me, it's like, just, man, it's just, that love just grows. You're like, man, that's my twins. But what I'm saying is, like, music can be used as a platform for our worship. But it doesn't have to have music. We can just worship God wherever we are. Amen? So praise God. Are you guys receiving this morning? Wow, praise God. And you know what? Sometimes in the book of I'm going to like paraphrase this because this is very long, but Luke chapter 18, this talks about Jesus heals the blind man, right? He heard that like there was a commotion, and then it's like, and he asked like, what's going on? Oh, Jesus of Nazareth, he's like passing by. And you know what? He was blind. He's like, Jesus, son of David. And the people were like, hey, stop, quiet. It's like, but you know what he did? He didn't stop. Like, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And it was like, and then God heard him. And then just to make the long story short, Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. And you know what? There's going to be time in our lives, maybe you guys are right now, that there's going to be like family members, friends, co-workers, like, are you losing your mind? You just lost your loved ones and you're still doing this worship thing and this Christian thing? You know, you just lost your job, you just lost your marriage. And it's like, what? It's like, if God is real, why did he allow this to your life? Faith. We believe that God is still on the throne, sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he will not fall off on that throne, and he never will. Amen. So like this morning, we're just like doing our short devotion with the worship team this morning. Janelle, she, there you go. All right. So it's like, she like shared this like sacrifice of praise, right? It's like, man, there's going to be some times that when we come here, this I don't know what's going on in your life yesterday or this morning before you come in this morning. It's like, maybe your week is just so rough and like, you know, you're in this bad situation, but it's like, you know what? It's like, whatever the other people say to you, I'm not going to stop worshiping God. I'm going to give my sacrifice of praise to him. Even though I'm in this middle of a storm in life, I'm just having this hard time. But you know what? I'm believing, I'm worshiping God with sacrifice of praise, believing that God will change this situation. And if God will not change this situation, God will change my heart and my perspective. Yes. Thank you, Tony. There's the standing ovation. Praise the Lord. You know, oh man, are you guys still with me? Yeah. Praise God. Wow, praise the Lord. And you know what? When we worship God, it's like, it's, you know, everything that we do here in as, you know, as a church to advance the kingdom of God, preaching, doing missionary work, helping all these ministries, children's ministry, everything will just go away. But there's only one who remains. Worship. Worship is eternal. Maybe you're aware or not, but every time we gather and worship God, we join eternity. We join the angels in the heaven and the 24 elders and the saints worshiping God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is and is to come. What a beautiful the name of Jesus. What a powerful name, the name of Jesus. Praise God. Wow. Praise the Lord. So you know what, it's, I don't know if you guys remember, I mean, you guys remember this, you know, the disciples, when Jesus, after Jesus fed the 5,000, and Jesus sent the, his disciples to go to the other side of the country, and they jumped in the boat, and Jesus went to go pray, and then these disciples in the boat, in the middle of the ocean, there was like big storm, right? And this waves is beating the boats out, and then this wind just comes against them. And it's like early in the morning, maybe around 4 o'clock, and then somebody is walking in the water. And it's like, But they were terrified because they didn't know, but actually it was Jesus. And Jesus was like, don't be afraid, it's me. And Peter was like, all right, if that's you, Jesus, can I come to you? And he's like, all right, come on, Peter. So jump out of the boat. And he's like, walk in the water, right? There's just faith. First step, faith. And guess what happened after that? He looked at the waves like, man, this is weird. And he starts sinking. And like, Lord, help me. And then he grabbed his hand. And then both of them got in the boat. And then just the wind just like come down. And the disciples worship him. They worship Jesus while they're wet. They're soaking wet. But you know what? There's going to be in times in our lives, maybe right now, here guys, I'm just, Lord Jesus, I'm just soaking wet with all these trials. I don't know what's going on but with my kids, my family. You know, it's like this relationship, God. But I believe. I still bring my sacrifice of praise to you. And I believe that you're still my God. And you're that everything is still under control in your life. Amen. Praise God. So let's move on. Love, God's love for us. And John 3:16, for God so loved the world, and he gave his only son. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have an everlasting life. The first time I heard my brother, my older brother, he's 1 year older than me, and his name is Jonathan, and we fight a lot. I think that's what brother does, and because we love each other, and that's why we fight a lot. Does it make sense? Yeah. But anyway, he's like, yeah, it's like, you know, he said, it's like, I mean, he asked me, like, do you know where's the heart of the Bible? Heart of the Bible? Yeah. Like, do you know, like, no, I don't know. John 3:16. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's like, oh, okay. I'll take that. So God said, for God loves the world. No, wrong. It says, for God so loved the world. Yeah. For God so loved the world. And I was like thinking, like, man, God so loved the world. It's like, what's the other term? Like, man, he's obsessed. Wow. He's obsessed about me. He's obsessed about you. He just loves you so much. Do you believe that this morning, church, that he loves you? Yes, yes? Amen. Praise God. And you know what? God is love. Like I mentioned earlier, God is love. But you know what? Not all love is God. And love is not the deity that we worship. We worship a living God. The full of love. And he loves us so much. He's obsessed. And love, you know, love is the theme of this life. Love is the main theme of our existence. It's the very purpose for which we were created. We are the objects of his obsession, and nothing can change that obsession. You are the object of his obsession. Wow, 750 years before Jesus came to this planet to solve the sin problem. He demonstrated his extraordinary love, his unconditional love, reckless love, illogical, unexplainable love through a young man named Hosea. And you know, Hosea, he's a prophet. He's a prophet. He's a holy man. He's a seer. And the Israelites respect him because he's a man of God. But God came to Hosea. All right, Hosea, I want to use you to be my speaker for my people. So I'm going to give you an assignment. My assignment for you is, I want you to marry a prostitute. Sorry, this message is kind of like Reddit R. But And then it's like Hosea was like, what? Come again, Jesus? Yes, I want you to marry a prostitute. But, you know, he's a man of God. And it's like, all right. So he marries a prostitute. Do you know her name?
Gomer.
What a name, right? Of a prostitute. Gomer. Wow. Perfect fit. Oh, man. So it's like, so they get married and everything seemed like, everything went well. They have a baby boy, baby girl, another baby boy. Maybe 3 years, 4 years, they're being together. And then one day, Hosea wakes up and he's like, can't find Gomer. Checks everywhere, like, maybe he's probably like thinking, like, man, Gomer's playing with me, like hide and seek. He's like, Gomer, where are you? Checking the kitchen, like, closet, he's like, where's Gomer? And it's like, now it's like, wow. Probably at that moment, it's like, man, three kids, single dad. I'm supposed to be a bacon food. It's like a beacon of hope. Did I say that right? I have an accent. Oh, my goodness. Like a beacon of hope to the, you guys get it, right? Or, I tried to make it right, but I just can't do it. And it's like, I'm supposed to be this prophet and become a hope for God's people, but now I can't even keep my wife. And it's probably, it's like a lot of dark nights. I'm like, man, what am I going to do? People respected me, like, but now I'm like a single dad. What am I going to do? And then eventually God came to Hosea. All right, Hosea, he said, all right, this is the plan. I want you to go find your wife. Ah, Jesus, come again. Yes, I want you to find your wife and marry her again. So that's where we're going to pick up this story. In the book of Hosea, chapter 3, starting verse 1. And the Lord said to me, go again, love a woman who is loved by another man and is an adulteress, even as the Lord loves the children of Israel, though they turn to other gods and love cakes of raisins. What does that mean? It's like, that means at this time, there's like the Israelites were enamored by the things of this world. They got distracted because at this time, the nation of Israel, they're experiencing extraordinary abundance. They're all prosperous. Everything was just economically, just like everything's doing good. You know, people are just living life like comfortably. But what happened was like they lost their attention from the Lord. They turned to idols. And you know, throughout the entire like Old Testament, the prophets of God in the Old Testament, they didn't just get to speak to their prophecy, but they were able to live with their prophecy. So, and you know what? It's like they're like the Israelites at this time, like they believe that it's like because everything is good, you know, like they think that love can be purchased, love that you can find love to self-gratification and you can find love from things. And if you're like look at it in our time right now in 21st century, it's like, man, it's like looks like it's like the same, right? It's like, you know, it's like, oh, I love you, here's the flower, love you, here's the gift, you know, like the entire world, like we seem like love is just like all this stuff. But for God, it's like, no, these are just shallow love. This is not real love. So God said, I will come and I will show to my people what love really is. Wow. So, Hosea gets an assignment. Go find your wife and marry her again. So I was like, Hosea, like I said, he's the man of God. So like, went find his wife, and I was like thinking like just to make it relevant at this time, he probably like go to like South Phoenix and try to find his wife. Downtown Phoenix, like, man, she's not here. I can't find her. Oh, I'm gonna go try to Nevada. That's Vegas. Everything happens there stays there. Right? So, and then it's probably like asking people, like, hey, have you seen my wife? And it's like, no, I haven't seen her. Like, I wonder if he asked those people that Gomer just like spent the night before. You know what I mean? And then it's like, and then finally he found Gomer. And you know, where he found her? Most scholars believe that when he walks in, find Gomer, he walks in to an auction. And that Gomer was being sold. And then when he walked in, he's like, excuse me, sir. That's my wife. And he's like, I don't care who you are. I don't care who she is. She is mine, and she's for sale. And then it's like, all right. So it happens, just, you know, the story just like ended up Hosea paid the price. Maybe there was a bidding going on, and he probably outbid all the biddings. That's why he got his wife back. There's like 15 pieces of silver and 5 bushels of barley. That was the payment. But he's like, Hosea, wait a second. She's already yours. Yeah, I know. But I'll pay the price. She's already mine, but I'll pay the price. You know, Psalms 24 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And yet God sent his son to spill his sacred blood to pay the price for me and for you. You receiving this church this morning? Wow. Yeah. And yet God sends his son to spill his sacred blood to purchase what is in fact already his. Just in case you didn't know, we are already his, church. Yes. But he paid a price, shed his blood for us. He loves you, he loves us, and he's obsessed about you. It's not that because we're worthy to be saved. No. It's because he just loves us. That's it. That's it. He just loves us. One scholar wrote, other than the crucifixion and death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, undoubtedly the story of Hosea and Gomer is the greatest expression and demonstration of God's love in all Scripture. So at that moment, after he purchased his wife, the Spirit of the Lord came to Hosea and he started prophesying just right after he purchased his wife. Verse 3, it says, and I said to her, I mean, he renewed his vows to her. In verse 3, it says, and I said to her, you must dwell as mine for many days. You shall not play the prostitute or belong to another man, so will I also be with you. He renews his vow to her. And then right on that spot, he prophesied about Israel and the days that are coming. Verse 4, it says, for the children of Israel shall dwell many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or pillar, without ephod or household gods, Afterward, the children of Israel shall return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. He said, David their king. He's not talking about David. He's talking about Jesus. He's just using that knowledge, David, because he's yet to know Jesus at that time. David is just a messianic name standing for Jesus, because they were called Jesus, son of David. You guys get it? Yes. All right, so and then it says, like, afterward the children of Israel shall return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and they shall come in fear to the Lord and to his goodness in the latter days. You know what? Those days that he's talking about, those are not the days that Hosea was in. Because in the Old Testament, God's people, the Israelites, were like, they lived their lives in fear and terror for God's punishments and wrath. His judgment. But he was talking about that there's going to be a day that will come, that there's going to be a new day, new era, that the king will come and save them and give that, and through his goodness. And what's it right here? Let me read this part right here. Nosebleed. There you go. So there's going to be, but also having the sports process to wipe back, and the prophecies about a new world order and a new day and a new era and a new covenant, that there will be a messianic king, and in those days people will be in awe of his goodness. And you know what? The Bible says that in his goodness, through his goodness, people leads to repentance, to change. Who's Uzziah? Who's Uzziah? God. Hosea means salvation. Gomer means completion. That's good. Thank you for that. Who's Hosea? That's our God. And who's Gomer? That's me. It's you. It's us. You guys getting this? Yes. But you know what? We just sing this song, Reckless Love. You know what? Jesus, God, he will not stop looking for you. He will not stop searching for you and find you to redeem you, to pay whatever the cost to save you. Who is Gomer? Me. And Jesus is my Hosea. And he completes me. Jesus is our Hosea, church. You know, Matthew chapter 9 is like this when Jesus was like sitting on Israel right here. Chapter 9, verse 10. And as Jesus reclined at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick." And then he quotes the same from the book of Isaiah. He said, "Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." What is he saying? I am your Hosea. I come to save, to redeem, give you hope, pay the price for you. Come on, let's give a little clap of praise this morning. Yes. Wow. Praise God. What is he saying? He said, "I am your Hosea." And who is he talking to? He was talking to the Jews. And they knew exactly what the great story of Hosea. They knew. He was saying, "I am your Hosea. I am your salvation. And I will go and I will look and I will search and I will pay whatever the cost for you." And you know what's the problem for these Pharisees people, these religious people? They love God. They love God. But they don't love people. I'm glad you guys here at Hope Chapel love God, love people. I think we're on the right track, right? Man, I mean, Pastor Eric did a great job. Man, praise the Lord. Wow. So, you know, but it's like, wow, it's like Pharisees, man. It's like, do you guys remember, gospel. Sometimes we just all like, us Christians, including myself, and I know you guys can relate this as well, but there's so many times in our lives that we just get caught up with just a specific topic, like, man, this is what the Bible was saying about, and this is where I will stand, and hey, this is what I understand, like, I don't care, I disagree with you, this is what I believe, you know what, like, I'm right, you're wrong, you know, like that, and it's like, but you know what, the gospel is a mystery. If you try to understand the gospel, you'll go crazy. That's why Jesus uses parables, metaphors, so that people will understand what he was trying to tell them. You guys getting this morning? All right, so it's this metaphor that Jesus shared. I don't even remember. I mean, you guys, I know you. This is very popular. Prodigal son, right? The parable, right? It's just, it's like a dad, you know, this rich dad and two sons, older, and older is the good son, and the younger is kind of not good. One day he's like, all right, dad, I'm going to get my inheritance from you, and I need it now. I'm going to go live my life, and just to make the long story short, he did die, spent all his money, and then one day he's in a pig pen, and he's like, man, this is not right. Like my dad's servants, like they're eating good food, but I'm here eating with the food with the pigs, you know, like that. It's like, I'm gonna go back. And he did, and guess what? His dad was waiting. His dad saw him, and you know what? His dad didn't stay there. He chased after him, and you know, called his servants, all right, clean this. Clean my son, he was lost, now he was found, he was dead, now he's alive, you know, like that, and give him a bath, you know, like, I don't know how long it will take to give him a, you know, clean him up, you know, like that. He's not a girl, so probably like 30 minutes, all done. Yeah, right? Yeah, I think you guys, like 3 hours, probably 2 hours for the ladies to just come to church, right? Be here at 10 o'clock, and you guys like wake up at 6:30, and like starting taking a shower, blow dry your hair, and all this makeup, and then when you guys showed up here, I was like, man, I look good. I can see Jesus all over you. Beautiful. You're wonderfully and beautifully made, and you created in his own likeness. So anyway, so the story is like this. So dad called for a party, you know, and it was like, well, and guess what? The older son was not there. He was like somewhere. And then it's like all of a sudden, the older son was like, what's going on in my dad's house? I can see like music. People are dancing. You know, if you can hear people like you know, like shouting and dancing, that means like they're like going crazy. They're like probably like doing some electric slide and all this stuff. You know, it's like if you can hear that from far, like, you know, in the Philippines, like back like when I was a kid, like 1980s, like, we call them disco. Like, we didn't have bar back then. Like, you know, it's like, I live in a small island, one city, and what they do is, like, every week, like, Friday, it's like, they set up, like, outside and, like, put some disco walls, all these lights, and, like, and small town, and if you're from afar, it's like, you can hear, like, and hear the bass. Where is that going? And like, okay, it's like, we go around. It's like, I'm going to go over there. It's like, I can see people like dancing like crazy. They're all drunk, you know, like that. It's like, and I was a kid, like, I'm dancing too, like, you know, like that. But this older son is like, what? What's going on? So he went in there, and then guess what happened? He saw his brother dancing and celebrating. And we like, look at this story. It was like, man, this other brother is just a sour brother. He's just a bad man. You know what? Actually, he's just a reasonable person. Actually, in this story, he's in the right state of mind because the dad and the son, those are the crazy people, you know. It's like that, but it's like, and then, so his heart just got so like affected by it. But you know what? I'll tell you the reason why that younger son can dance, not because of his own performance, because his performance is like bad. There's only one reason. Because he knew that his dad loves him. So what I'm saying is like there's time in our lives that we're in that position, we're in the younger son. That we're dancing in the dance floor and just enjoying God's presence, enjoying God's love. And there's sometimes, I'm convinced that there's sometimes that we're going to be in the place where the older son is. Oh, that was just electric static right there. And I was like, what? What is he doing? Why is he dancing? You know, I was like, what? So there's going to be times where it's like you go to your brother, it's like, hey, man, look at that. He should not be dancing. I'm just telling you. You know, if you just know what he did, it's like, just pray for him and do that. You know, it's like, that's the Pharisees, you know. But I'm so thankful that I can dance because I know God loves me. See, if I can ask the worship team to come back. Up here, I'm getting longer than when I thought. Thank you. Wow. So at least it's not like 12 yet. But wow. So you know what? I grew up in a Christian home. My dad, my mom are ministers. They have a church. You guys know. We go over there and do missions and I didn't have this Eric testimony in life, you know. It's like, but I realized I'm still Gomer. You know, there's so many things in my eyes that I've watched that I should not be watching. Just want to be honest with you. There's so many words that I spoke that I should not be utter, you know. It's so many actions that I did that I should not be doing, you know, like that. And I'm Gomer. So many thoughts. But I'm very thankful, so thankful, grateful that my Hosea, Jesus, came to save me and pay the price for me. If you can just bow your heads right now, church, and just close your eyes. Just let this message sink in. And there's young people here, you know, faith, love, God's love, and worship. We'll put this all together. You know, it's faith. The Word of God is the fuel of our faith. We got to get a hold of the Word of God. And understand the love of God for you. You know, the Bible is not just another best-selling book. It's the Word of God. You gotta get a hold of it. And if you believe that the Word of God is true, and you understood what Jesus did for you, that he paid a price for you, you cannot just stand still. But something happens from the inside. Something wells up and you cannot stop. And you will just start worshiping him with all of your heart. Because you're so thankful and grateful for what he did for you. If you don't believe that the Bible is the Word of God, the love of Christ is just a fairy tale. That you just come to church with emotion. I just go to church every young people. I'll go to church because my parents, they go to church. You need to experience God's love. Just think about that for a moment. I don't know what's your current situation right now. Search your heart. Here at Hope Chapel, if this is your first time here this morning, we don't like to end our service without giving you an opportunity to make Jesus your Lord and Savior. Just all heads bowed and eyes closed. And if you feel like this message is really like speaking to your heart, and you know, like, man, Chapel, that message is for me. Just really quickly, just lift your hands up. I just want to, where I can see them. And I just feel like God is speaking to me. And I'm Gomer. Just really quickly, just lift your hands up. Thank you for this hand. You know, we didn't just come to church because another Sunday. We didn't just sing these songs because it's another song, but you know, we sing these songs because we believe that our God is a faithful God. We sing these songs because we are thankful and grateful for what He did for us. This is not just religious activities, church. We come here this morning because we just want to worship Him and thank Him, worship Him in spirit and in truth. And just give that breath back to Him. Maybe there's some of you here that's like, man, I would like to recommit myself to the Lord. I would like to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I just want to surrender my life to Him right now. We're going to sing this last song this morning. This song called Love Came Down. As we sing this song, just feel free. Come to the altar. Especially of you, those of you that just raised your hands, just lift your hands, just come to the altar, just surrender your life to Him, your heart to Him. You're like, God, I just want to surrender my life to You. I didn't realize, Lord God, that I am Gomer. So, church, this is your moment. It's full free. The altar is open.
If my heart is overwhelmed and I cannot hear Your voice,